This evening starts Vacation Bible School. As you can see, our stage is set. So I thought we might begin with a quiz this morning. Vacation Bible School, the theme this year is Passport, Traveling Around the World. Now, I don't know if you've looked up here or not, but I'm wondering, can we figure out what country all these represent, okay? So we're going to start off with an easy one. What country do you think this symbol represents? The United States of America. All right, let's step back. England, Big Ben. I'll be honest, I hadn't got that one yet, so we'll come back to it. No, that's not Russia. This is Australia. It's the Opera House in Sydney. Now this one, Pyramid, maybe? Egypt? All right, we'll go with Egypt. All right. Russia. Ah. Greece. All right. I know we've got this one. France, the Eiffel Tower. China, or actually think Thailand or Tibet, somewhere there. You did very well. Very well. Today we're going to talk about our children, what we can do to help them. It's going to be a message directed at parents and grandparents, because I want to remind you that our families are in danger. The family is growing weaker. So many now couples choose not to even get married. Children want to get out of the house as quick as they can, although they end up coming back when they find out life is not what they thought it would be. And as the family gets weaker, our beloved nation gets weaker. Karl Marx, to a large extent the founder of communism, said that to impact America, communism would have to deal with the family. When the family gets weaker, the church gets weaker. And when the church gets weaker, everything begins to fall apart. So we're going to talk about, and I'm going to be very practical in today's message. Today we're going to talk about the entertainment industry, the music, gaming industry. We're going to talk about those things that vie for our heart and challenge God for supremacy in our lives. Now, for those of you my age, around there and over, I'd say probably around 45, 50 and over, we've never battled some of these issues that our children and young people are battling. We've never faced them. I know this. When we talk about this, we are entering into Satan's lair. Years ago, old-fashioned country preachers, when people first started getting that television, old-fashioned country preachers would talk about that one-eyed monster in the house. You know what? In retrospect, they may have been right. You see, the entertainment industry, media, gaming, all of this is vying for addicts. They want children, teenagers, and adults who just have to have their fix. One more game, one more song, one more movie, just gotta have it. When we think of addicts, we think of a needle in the arm. But we need to think today of maybe keys on a keyboard, a joystick in the hand, a controller in the palm. But the controller in the palm does not control the screen. It controls the one oftentimes who is holding it. We're going to talk about the power this influence has. Our son Scott, when he must have been around 9 or 10, we took him to watch a movie that had come out, Karate Kid. How many of you have seen Karate Kid? Oh, Scott loved that movie. But for about 3 weeks, when you walk through our house, you walk through with caution because you were likely to get karate kicked. It had that much influence in that young boy's life. I don't think that we could understand or fathom the power these things have over us. And do we understand what they do to our brain? Somehow, and again, don't ask me to explain it, when my son-in-law, Corey, is here this weekend, ask him, ask Sean when he's back. They can explain what happens to the brain, in the brain, with the neurons and all the different things going on. But it gets into their brain. It actually gives them, they're sitting playing this game, and it's giving them pleasure. It feels good to them. And you say, and you come in and say, turn the game off. We have to go somewhere. And they're like, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. It's got them. Again, it's working in their brain. It's all these electrical currents are flying in their heads. They can't get away from it. It sucks them in. Why do we do it? Maybe parents don't know what to do. Maybe the parents are in denial. Not my precious baby. I think a large part is because we don't understand spiritual conflict. If we could see with our physical eyes what is happening in the spirit world, I think it would scare us half to death. All of you at night lock your doors before you go to bed, don't you? It's a ritual in our house. When we built this house back here and we added on it, we ended up with 5 exterior doors in the house. So when it gets bedtime, Junior says, I'll get this door, you get that door. We got to check all these 5 doors and lock them because we don't want anybody coming in. And when we have our grandchildren there with us, we're even more particular about locking the doors. But what we don't get, the enemy that's after our children is already on the inside, waiting for opportunity to steal their hearts. Let me share a verse from Matthew 5 and 8. Talking about what the people are doing. Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's the battleground. God wants the heart. If you come to church, but he doesn't have your heart, he's lost. In your home, the enemy wants the hearts of your children. It is the battleground. You ever watch a scary television show or scary movie? Maybe some people are in a home or they've walked into a home and they're like, something's wrong. There's something bad here. And somebody says, I'll go check the basement. And you're thinking, idiot. Nobody in a scary movie is wise to go into the basement because there's always evil down there. again, in our homes, it's in our dens, our bedrooms, and our pockets. Am I saying technology is evil? Absolutely not. But if we don't keep controls on it, it can be used for evil. And it's ready access for our enemy. And parents, and you know this, it can be a battleground between you and your children. Our job as parents and grandparents is not to make certain our children have a pleasure-filled childhood. Can I repeat that? It is not our job as parents and grandparents to make certain our children have a pleasure-filled childhood. It is our job to make certain they grow up and become adults who are stable and mature and successful and yielded to God. That is our goal. I want to give you three tests. 1, 2, 3. So tests that you can perform to see where these things are in your life and in your home. The first one is the content test. What content is coming into your home? The scripture passage is from 1 John 2:15 through 17. John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see, it's the heart issue. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, I need it. The desires of the eyes, I want it. And the pride of life, I deserve it. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whosoever does the will of God abides forever." If your children, now this is kind of heavy, but it is reality. If your children have every game imaginable, and they can play to their heart's content, and if a new game comes out and you buy it for them, and they're happy and they get everything they want in life, and they get old, and they will get old, amen? Now we know that. And they die without Christ, what have you done for them? It's not about here, friend, it's about eternity. The content test is about the things of the world that vie for our heart. The content can be violence, it can be sexual, and so much of what we see today, and you see the entertainment industry is trying to change values in America. And they don't hold back. They want to change values. They want to change what the family looks like. They want to change what sexuality is. They want to change the perception of Christ in the church in America. It's all about changing values. Those of you my age, close to it, entertainment industry was about reinforcing values. The Andy Griffith Show, Bonanza, Leave It to Beaver, some of those, it was about reinforcing values. Today, it's about destroying values that we feel were godly and replacing them with values that are worldly. Even the advertisements, marketing, is all about covetousness. Coveting. Don't you want it? Don't you want it? How bad do you want it? Let me share another verse. This is from James 4:4. Talking to people like us in our culture today. "You adulterous generation, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you cannot be a friend of God. James kind of lays it out there. James says you're either the one or the other. You're either a friend of God or you're a friend of the world. And if you're a friend of the world, James says, you're an enemy of God. Content. What do our kids hear? What do our kids see? In case I forget to share this later on, I've read several articles on parenting in today's culture, and they all agree on one thing parents should do. Do not allow your children to have a television or internet in their bedroom. Do not give them access. And if they say, "Don't you trust me?" say, "No, I don't trust you." I'll leave it there. I was going to share a story, but do you trust your kids along with it? Do not. So many kids are getting hooked on pornography. If they have to have a phone, they don't have to have the internet. Well, all my friends do. That's generally a good sign you don't want to do it. It's dangerous. Again, it's vying for their hearts. Vying for their hearts. Imagine you go to visit a new neighbor. You knock on the door, bring them some homemade cookies, and they invite you in, and you come in, and sitting there on their coffee table is a glass case with a knife in it. And you look at it, oh, have you seen the knife? And they pick up the case and they show it to you, and look at this knife. And they say, several years ago, a man broke into our home and took this knife and killed our daughter. You would be thinking, why do you have it encased? Sin killed our Savior, and we laugh at it, hold it up, and want to get as close to it as we can. Sometimes we almost even put it in the case when it brought about the destruction of our Savior. We, you and I parents, we either magnify godly values or worldly values in our lifestyle. To be honest, myself included, we've become so desensitized to evil that comes through our media that we don't recognize it. I'm saying that we need to open our eyes and really see what we're looking at. And you might need to sit down, husbands and wives, maybe with your teenagers after you make a decision and say, we're going to make some changes. It's not going to be just coming in, turning on, and watch everything that's on. We can't do that. Because it is having influence. Test number two, the control test. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, you may say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Paul's talking about freedom in Christ. And although it may be permissible, it is not wise, because we become a slave. Have you ever been around, and some of you have firsthand, have you ever been around a drug addict? Have you seen them when the fix they've had begins to wear off? They begin to get shaky and jittery. And all they can think about is that next fix. And how am I going to buy it? Don't turn your back in your home. They'll find something still. Watch your pockets, because again, they're addicted. Drugs control them. Our enemy, again, is seeking addicts. He wants your children addicted to the internet. And you know, I know that many of you enjoy social media. It can be a tool. I believe that my wife uses it as a tool. She sees what's happening in people's lives. She tells me how we need to help people, what we need to do. But for many people, that internet goes in another direction. You see things you ought not see, and you say things on the internet you would never say in person. It doesn't build relationships, it destroys relationships. Kids become addicted to the games they play. Ask that kid to stop when they're close to the end of their game and go with you somewhere. You'll find out what addiction is. The control test. Are we addicted? Sexual, music, gaming, social media, entertainment. The gambling industry, they want addicts. Why do you think they rig their games so you win sometimes? They want you to feel real good. Because if you feel real good, or the guy next to you feels good and wins, you'll come back and need it again. The control test. Parents, this is an issue for us too. May not be that needle. Might be a joystick. Might be a cell phone. Might be a keyboard. Might be a remote control. What seems innocent soon becomes an idol. Remember, the battleground is the heart. All that God wants is our heart. That's why Jesus says to love the Lord your God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants your heart. Because when He has your heart, He has everything. But if He does not have your heart, He has nothing but form and ritual and make-believe and what Jesus called in the Pharisees hypocrisy. Some time ago, I think it's several years ago, I was in a department store, and a young mother had her child, maybe 14, 16, 18 months old, something like that, sitting up in a child's buggy, okay? And on the front of this child's buggy, there's a steering wheel, okay? Y'all with me? Steering wheel. This kid saw the candy aisle, and he's turning. But what he didn't know was this. He was not in control of that buggy. His mama was doing the pushing. If you want to know where your heart is, if you want to know where your children's hearts are, what's pushing them? What direction are they going? And parents, it's painful, but we need to understand that oftentimes we have absolutely no control. And for parents, you've only got a few years of strong influence in your child's life. Now, when they become adolescents and teenagers, you still have some control, but not near as much. Seize it while you have it. Third test. The clock test. Paul says that we should be redeeming the time because the days are evil. I heard this years ago. Only one life. It soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Children and young people feel invincible. And at that age, you feel like you will just live forever, don't you? Y'all remember? But somewhere around in your 30s, it begins to dawn on you, these years are clipping by. Then you hit 40 and you're like, whoa, ho, ho, let's put the brakes on. But the brakes aren't operative. And all of a sudden, 50's here, and you've topped the hill, and it's going down. Ginger and I were just talking the other day. We feel like Christmas was 2 weeks ago. Our life is brief. Our life is but a vapor. If we don't understand that we waste time with all these other things in our life. Now, I'm hoping some of you have tried our Media Free Monday. We've had three. The first one, Ginger and I went and visited the hospital. That was pretty easy. The next one, we were just there at home and we turned the television off and it was like 6 o'clock and we stared at each other. And it seemed like going from 6 to 10, it was really long. We did some things, but when you're engaged in entertainment, it flies by. But our last Monday, we had our grandchildren over. And we told them early on in that day, this is media-free night. They said, what? Screen. Our kids call it screens. Screen-free night. So we had them put their screens up, and we sat around, we talked, played games, and after you got over the initial shock of not having entertainment just right in your eyes, we got to know our grandkids and had fun with them. When we waste time, we waste life, and we don't have a lot of it. We need to seize opportunities to train our children and disciple our children. And again, your best discipling is done through modeling. Let them watch you. If you're going to go somewhere to help somebody, make certain that you drag your kids along and tell them why you're doing it. I would suggest, parents, when you write your tithe check out for church, let your children watch. Let them see, because they're going to go, Mama, Dad, do you know what that would buy? And you say, yes, but I'm honoring God with it. And they're going to go, oh, you're teaching them. But it's not going to work if they're constantly on a screen, constantly engaged, and constantly absorbed. The enemy will have his tentacles into them. And you will wonder what happened to your children. What will have happened is this. He will have stolen their hearts. All right, I'm going to give you, and this is it on the outline, but I'm going to give you five things that I think would just be a good practice for you. Think about the nature of spiritual conflict. That you have God battling against Satan, good battling against evil, and your child, your life, your family is the battleground. And Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness in this present age. The world is evil, and it wants your children. Clean up your own act, number two. Are you addicted? We need to be open. We need to be honest. We need to be candid. Do I have a problem here? Number three, set family standards. I would suggest husband and wife get together, set family standards, and then call the family together for a family meeting. So there's going to be some changes. We're talking about deciding if you're going to watch television, or you're going to watch G, PG, PG-13, PG-14, and kids will tell you, well, PG-14 means I'm 14, I'm supposed to watch it. No, it doesn't either. How long can they spend on the screen? Set time limits. But set family standards, because if you don't set them, you're asking immature children. To make life-altering decisions about their future when they don't have a clue how to do it. Number four, realize you cannot do it alone. We are commanded in the church to come together. We come together, we hear about God, we come together, and we encourage each other. Our children spend time with each other. If you're around children that share the values that you want, they'll begin to rub off on your children. I would suggest, plainly speaking, when the doors are open, be here. As much as you can to expose them to godly people and godly values changes their life. Number five, practice spiritual disciplines. Pray and study the Word of God. You need to pray for your children daily. You need to ask God for guidance to help you. I know it's hard. Making those decisions and raising children is always just so difficult to do. The first place it begins is our hearts. Now, I don't know where you are today. You can't talk to your children about their hearts if your heart's away from God. Can't do it. If you're addicted, if the world has its tentacles in you, you can't help your children. Around 400 AD, a philosopher, historian named Augustine, one of the strongest Christians of that century, who wrote and taught us so much about the early church. But at this stage in life, he is not a follower of Christ. He is enslaved by sexual sin. It has total control of him. Not going into details, but anything, anywhere, anybody, it had his tentacles in Augustine. Someone shared with him Romans 14, and he came under conviction. He gave up his sinful life and turned to Christ. Became an ardent follower of Christ. One day on the street, one of his former girls, lovers, began to call out, "Augustine, it is I, it is I." He stopped and turned and looked at her and he said, "But it is not I." At some point in our life, we need to put the anchors down and say, "This is where I'm going to live." And we choose, do we go with the way of the world and pursue pleasure that at the end of the day will not satisfy? Or do we anchor ourselves in the Lord God, in the Word of God, who promises peace here and an eternity with Him? I'm asking you today not to march on the fires of hell, although it may be just as difficult. I'm not asking you to stand face to face with Satan and tell him what's going to go on, but you may feel like that when you're talking with your children. But I am asking you to be a man of God and a woman of God enough to say, maybe we need to make some changes in our family. Maybe we need to do some things different because we want God to have our children's heart, not the entertainment industry and the music industry and the gaming industry, because they're just going to pull them away from God and everything that is wholesome and good and viable. And again, I am convinced that we are in the end days, because the Bible says in the last days, men and women will become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And pleasure right now is the God that people seek. Assignments back here, David, I think I had some. Treat Monday night as no screen night. Ginger and I are starting at 6. Honestly evaluate how much you are spending on technology and entertainment. You may find that's part of your budget problem. Number 3, make changes as the Lord leads you. Kids may not like it. That's okay. If you think it pleases the Lord God, go with it. Just don't be a hypocrite and tell them they can't while you do. Okay. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, Lord, we pray for our children. We pray that you would put a hand of protection around them. And Lord, we know that hand needs to be family, mom and dad and grandparents and brothers and sisters. Pray, Father, that we might be men and women of God enough to make changes in our lives. To say, I'm not going to bow down to this idol anymore. I'm not going to allow Satan to keep my heart. I'm going to turn it back to Christ. Father God, stir in our midst. Work in our midst, Lord. And Lord, during this next week in Vacation Bible School, may our children hear about Christ and long to know more and to love Him. And may they come home, Father, to parents, to grandparents, who are going to help them learn more about Christ and keep them from the traps the world has set. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. For His kingdom's sake. Amen.